this hour is sacred because we make it so. By our presence with each other, we renew our bonds. Let us join together in compassion and understanding to seek wisdom. Let us turn aside from transient cares and contemplate anew the enduring mystery that is life. Let us open ourselves to receive the gifts of love and peace. So good morning, everybody, and welcome. Welcome to Essex Church and to this, our gathered community of Kensington Unitarians. Thank you for being here this morning, despite the great heat wave. Now, ours is never a particularly formal church gathering. And this morning in particular, do whatever you need to do in order to feel comfortable. There is a water dispenser over there if you're thirsty. Move your chair if the sun is beating down on you and you are too hot. Stretch your legs in the garden if you need some air. We like welcoming visitors here to this church, and today we especially extend a warm welcome to Bobby and Erica's friends and family who are gathered all around us here to witness and celebrate their wedding, which will be happening shortly after our service today. For those of you I've not met before, my name's Sarah Tinker. I'm the fortunate person who ministers with this particular congregation, and I'm glad to be joined here in the work of ministry by Jane Blackall and Janine Powell. Look how this, just where I need them, who are co-leading today's service with me. We all have many reasons, different reasons, for being here today. And our hope is that each of us will find something here today that we're seeking in life. A rest for the busy. Company for those who like to share life with others. Chance for reflection and solace for the troubled, and an opportunity for the joyful to share their happiness with others. So whoever you are, however you're feeling, and whatever you're dealing with in your life at the moment, you are welcome here. So let us light our chalice flame as we do each week, and as Unitarians and Unitarian Universalists do in gatherings like this one all around the world. This simple ritual connects us in solidarity with progressive people of faith, and it reminds us of the larger liberal religious family of which we are part. A chalice lit in our midst is a symbol of our liberal faith, a faith built on the foundation of freedom, reason, and tolerance, a faith sustained by acts of kindness and justice, a faith that envisions a world flourishing with equality for all her people, a faith that demands the living out of goodness, a faith that requires thoughtfulness, a faith of wholeness. This tiny flame is the symbol of the spark of all this within each of us. So, may the lighting of this flame renew in us our endless search for all that is right and true, our abiding love of life and love of all who share this life, and our unending dedication to following paths of peace and justice in this world. Welcome to you all, everybody. Take a moment to get ourselves into the right state of body and mind to pray, to reflect. So let's join now in prayer and reflection as I call on the divine spirit of life and of love to be with us now and to bless all that we say and do together here today. That we are free to worship as we do here today is due to the struggles fought by generations that have gone before us. Ours is a free church, and it exists because some people refuse to be bound by the beliefs and the conventions of their day. They risked their livelihoods and even their lives because they would not conform. They stood out against the crowd and they spoke their truth. So let's, in a quiet moment now, think with gratitude of those who won the freedoms we now enjoy. And let's hold in our hearts all places where people are not free. Countries where it is dangerous to show your love of someone of the same gender. Countries where those who teach girls are threatened. Countries where journalists risk their lives reporting the truth. Places where those fleeing in fear to other lands are viewed with suspicion and met with hostility, rather than the kindness surely deserved by all strangers. Let's think of these people and these places and hold them in our hearts, witnesses to these human struggles towards greater freedom. And some of us will be all too aware of issues in our own lives that limit our freedom to be who we truly are. So may we be compassionate to ourselves and to one another, and find ways to help one another be who we are. And may that be so. This day and all days, and may it be for the greater good of all. Amen.
Our first reading today is by Scott Alexander, a Unitarian Universalist minister, that's our sister church in the States. He writes this gently challenging piece, calling fellow Unitarians to think a bit harder about what freedom means to us in the context of this, our liberal religious community. He writes, "I've been a Unitarian minister for nearly 25 years. In every congregation I've served, there have been people for whom Unitarianism seemed little more than a casual convenience, an occasional hobby, just a peripheral part of their lives. Far too often we've been a low participation, low expectation, low commitment kind of religion. But lately, something new is stirring. A new generation is now coming to our churches looking for a serious, spiritual, transforming, ethical religion. But as we try to respond to this demand for serious religion, we bump up against this casualness that has perhaps defined us in the past. Regrettably, many people used to be attracted to Unitarianism because it seemed the religious path of least resistance. I'll never forget the long conversation I had with a man who came to try out our conversation after his wife joined. He was having trouble understanding the Unitarian way of doing things. Like so many in our movement, he fixated on our freedom, saying, 'At last, a church where I don't have to pretend to believe all that stuff I don't believe in.' But in doing so, he missed altogether the demanding challenge and tension that's written into our very Unitarian principles. As is, after all, a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. To be a Unitarian is to spend a lifetime seeking reality and truth, striving to live in this world in an ethical and principled way. There's nothing casual or easy about that. Unitarianism does not give you freedom from religion, it gives you freedom for religion. That's the great paradox of our faith. Being a Unitarian doesn't give you freedom to believe anything you want. It gives you the freedom to search for, and hopefully find, those beliefs from which your heart and soul cannot escape. Now, this stage of declaring yourself free of the religious beliefs and rituals of your past, beliefs and rituals that we may have found restrictive, maybe even destructive, this stage is both necessary and understandable. One first liberates oneself from what I do not believe, before one can begin to move towards a new, authentic, life-giving belief which has real meaning for us. Although a few of us get stuck spiritually by wallowing in negative rebellion, from our religious past, most, sooner or later, begin using the freedom that comes with Unitarianism to get serious about discovering what we do believe, finding the ethical and moral principles that inform our lives, and engaging in spiritual practices that feed our souls and energise us for careful, responsible living. As the philosopher Santayana said, freedom, like the air we breathe, is necessary for existence but insufficient for nourishment. The UU minister Jim Brewer further reminds us, freedom demands responsibility to others and to life. It's not enough to be merely disciples of freedom. We must also be disciples of intelligence, sensitivity, understanding, and love. It's not enough to be free from intolerable constraints, but to be free for what is good and true and beautiful. May we realise that freedom is not an end of our religion, but in reality, only its beginning. Words from Scott Alexander.
So the following pair of readings come from a collection entitled Be Not Afraid by Elwyn Davies, who was a Unitarian minister in Wales and a very fine man indeed. These readings reflect the complementary principles of freedom of thought and responsibility to act that might be regarded as central to the liberal religious path.
Be not afraid to think and think for yourself. The thoughts that will upon the thoughts of others make a contribution that is truly yours. Be not afraid to think, because the powers of the mind are gifts from God, to search for truths that are divine in that they hold the secret of God's world and help to piece together the jigsaw of one's life and see the whole beyond the parts, the purpose through the bits. Be not afraid to think and think for yourself, for the contribution is unique upon the earth. And like you, no one yet has been or ever will be. So do not let your marker down. Who gave you your chance upon the earth for just a little while to do your thing? Be not afraid to think and think for yourself the honourable thoughts that will enrich your mind and the minds of others that will touch your own. For each creative thought from every mind that's free will find a new horizon far and extends the circle of humanity's hearth another vital step. Be not afraid to think and think for yourself.
Be not afraid to make a stand if what you believe is true within your heart of hearts. For truth itself, unlike a lie that needs another lie to hold it up, truth will firmly stand upon its own two feet and never let you down, however long you lean upon its trusty arm. The truth will always stand you in good stead. And so there is no need to be afraid to make a stand for what is true and therefore right. Be not afraid to make a stand, although your voice may often be the only one that vainly cries and cries. For in the barren wilderness of unconcern, there are no ears sharp to hear and hearts to heed. And yet it is the lonely voice that often stops the maddening mass and careless crowds from blindly walking to the easy whistle of the piper who leads them on and on without being onwards led. Be not afraid to make a stand and sometimes dig your heels that you may not be pushed or pulled against your will. For conscience severed once can easily split again when pressures come to bear upon its tender scar. To make a stand is not to be a stubborn mule, for when the truth you stand upon is true to your mind and heart and has a harmony with all you know and feel, you'll have the weight of heaven on your side, that you shall not be moved, and so be not afraid to make a stand.
We've come now to a time for meditation. You might want to put down anything you don't need to be holding. Make yourself as comfortable as you can be in your chair. If you're in a sunbeam, this might be the moment to move out of it. You might want to close your eyes or soften your gaze, maybe look at one of the candles in the centre. I'm going to read some brief words by Leif Seligman, and that will take us into a period of silence and shared stillness, just a few moments. As ever, you're free to think your own thoughts and meditate in your own way. These words are just an offering which might lead you somewhere good. I'll sound the bell after a few minutes of stillness to bring the meditation time to a close. We pause in the stillness to rest for a while, to quiet ourselves so we can feel that which stirs within. Each breath draws us closer to the path of life, the pulse of life, and with each exhalation we make room for something new. May we find in this gathering the comfort of those who care. May we encounter patience along our growing edges and compassion in our most tender spots. When life presses in and shifts us off balance, when pain assails us and frustration mounts, may the rhythm of our breath steady us and bring us back to a place of gratitude. Here in this community of the spirit, may we find the inspiration and encouragement we need to face our challenges and nurture ourselves. And in the presence of suffering around the globe, may we redouble our efforts to practice kindness and justice right where we are, with the hope that the light of our actions travels like the light of faraway stars. Let us enter this time of silence and stillness together to pause and rest for a while. Anyone who, like me, spends a fair proportion of their free time hanging about on the internet, particularly anyone who engages in social media in all its many forms, will know it can be a pretty harsh and spiky environment online these days. And not so long ago on Facebook, I witnessed what we might call a social media kerfuffle. This particular kerfuffle blew up in response to a news story about a special service held at the Unitarian Church in Chorlton, a suburb of Greater Manchester. This special service, which they called a commitment ceremony, was to celebrate and affirm the relationship between a long-standing Unitarian and member of that congregation, Mary Crumpton, and her partner John Hulls. Mary is polyamorous. This means she's open to having more than one loving relationship on the go simultaneously, and crucially, it also means that everybody involved in the relationships knows the score and has freely consented to the arrangement. So in Mary's case, she already has a husband, Tim. Indeed, Tim walked Mary down the aisle in her commitment ceremony to John, and John already lives with a pair of them anyway. Just for clarification, you can only be legally married to one person at a time, which is why they needed to come up with an alternative commitment ceremony to honour this second relationship in a significant but different way. You knew that, didn't you? The person who led the service, Laura Dobson, said, "It was an honour to conduct the ceremony and a joy to see our church full of people celebrating love. I've seen some photos from the reception afterwards, and to my eye, it looked like a very jolly occasion all round." Now, the congregation weren't naive about it, not at all. They knew from the off that there might be quite a range of views about such an unusual event. They knew it might attract media attention, not all of it positive. So when the request came in from Mary and John to hold this ceremony, they held a congregational meeting about it beforehand to talk it all through very carefully indeed. And I should say that every Unitarian church is autonomous, makes its own decisions and can make its own mind up about things like this. At the end of that meeting, the church members voted unanimously in favour of holding the ceremony, so they did. And then the papers got hold of it. First the Manchester Evening News, then the Sun, then the Daily Mail. Oh dear. But it seems that, despite being given the unflattering nickname Mrs. Crumpet in the resulting press coverage, Mary's tried to make the best of the situation. She's spoken freely and generously to the papers about her relationships. She's tried to take the opportunity to educate and inform the wider public about polyamory and that style of doing relationships. However, as you can imagine, not everybody is happy about this turn of events. When the news article about the ceremony first appeared online, someone shared the link in the Facebook group for UK Unitarians, wishing Mary and John well, commending Chawton Unitarians. And most people, I would say, responded pretty positively. They congratulated the church on their decision and the publicity it had afforded. Now, I acknowledge it is quite possible there were plenty of others looking on very uncertainly from the sidelines, choosing to stay diplomatically silent. And there was at least one other disapproving point of view that got well and truly aired. It was strongly held and strongly expressed. And this one person's critical comments in that Facebook group inspired the title and the topic of today's service. Anything goes? Just by way of background, the person in question makes reference to the slogan, freedom, reason and tolerance. It was in our opening words today. It's a phrase which is well known amongst Unitarians. It's long been associated with us and it encapsulates some of our guiding principles to the extent that we even have it printed on our mug, or at least on some of our mugs. A critical commentator in the Facebook discussion said this: "I don't think that freedom, reason and tolerance as a strapline was ever intended to mean anything goes. Are you saying that we will agree with, condone or support absolutely anything and everything? Will we as a denomination never draw a line anywhere again as to what is right and what is wrong?" I should say that is just a very brief quote from 3 or 4 days of social media argy-bargy that went on after the initial post. The thrust of this commentator's complaint, of this line of thinking, seems to be that we Unitarians take our commitment to freedom and reason and tolerance to mean that we must be totally open and accepting to absolutely everything. Maximally liberal. Anything goes. Is that really true? Both in the sense of, is that how we generally are, and is that how we should be? Do we Unitarians perhaps overemphasise freedom and in so doing neglect to think hard enough about responsibility? Now, the question of how to weigh up the demands of freedom and responsibility when striving to do right in life is of course the overall subject of this morning's service, though I'm mainly focusing on this one particular context, how the question plays out in liberal religion for people in congregations like this one. But it's not just a question for Unitarians, of course. Balancing the calls of freedom and responsibility, well, that's surely part of the ethical tightrope walking that goes on for anyone who's trying to live a reflective and thoughtful life. And I wonder how the tension between these two directions shows up in your own life. Sometimes we'll feel more moved to assert our individualistic freedoms, to live our own lives just as we wish. Sometimes we'll be more deeply conscious of our responsibilities within the wider society, more conscious of our interdependence, more careful about weighing up the ethical rights and wrongs and considering the impacts of our actions on other people, other creatures, the planet at large. In our first reading by Scott Alexander, we heard a little about the particular tensions that Unitarians sometimes experience between freedom and responsibility in liberal religion. Everyone who comes to Unitarianism does so for their own personal reasons, of course, but it may be that many of us incomers, by which I mean those of us who actively chose to come to a Unitarian church as opposed to being born into the religion or living somewhere where it's the only show in town and it's effectively the parish church. Us Unitarians by choice are often drawn at first to this church's clear, central and frequently stated commitment to freedom. As I said, it's even printed on the mugs. So many of us who choose to come to a place like this have struggled with religion in the past, felt constrained by it or conflicted about it for any number of reasons. And we might well breathe a great sigh of relief when we first find ourselves in a place where there's no theological dogma imposed from above, no creeds we're required to join in with, and there's generally speaking a socially liberal climate, each to their own, we might say here. Just like the man in Scott Alexander's story, when we first arrive, we might find ourselves thinking, at last, a church where I don't have to pretend to believe all that stuff I don't believe in. Or, at last, a church where I can do what I like and nobody will stop me. However, as the reading went on to say, this discovery of our newfound freedom is just a starting point, and we must take care not to get permanently stuck there. Freedom, like the air we breathe, is necessary for existence, but insufficient for nourishment. Now that we've found freedom, what are we going to do with it? The pair of readings by Elwyn Davies that Janine and Sarah read for us earlier, and which you've got on a little green sheet in your order of service, so you can take that away with you. These readings encourage us to fully claim our freedom, and particularly our freedom of thought, and then be sure to use it well, responsibly, in service of the common good. Davies counsels us to listen and learn from others, but ultimately to think for ourselves. He challenges us to stand up for what is true and right and just, as far as we can tell what that is, even when it means facing social and political pressure, perhaps, maybe even when it means standing alone. And he encourages us to realise, to truly recognise, that each one of us has a unique and all too brief opportunity in this life to help create a better world for all. So, anything goes? Not really. We religious liberals are called to use our freedom for a higher purpose. We must get used to exercising our conscience, individually and collectively, to discern our path, making the everyday moral decisions that cumulatively shape our life and the life of our community in accordance with our highest values. Just like Chawton Unitarians did, I'd say, when they had their special congregational meeting and they very carefully discerned that hosting Mary and John's commitment ceremony was the right thing for them to do, regardless of the likely controversy and comeback. To quote another well-worn Unitarian slogan, perhaps they are standing on the side of love. To close, I'd like you to take a look at the words on the front of your order of service by the Unitarian Universalist minister, Jim Brewer. I'd say they're a distillation and a reminder of the need to use our precious freedom for the greater good. And I invite you, if you wish, to join in speaking those words together now. Freedom demands responsibility to others and life. It is not enough to be merely disciples of freedom. We must also be disciples of intelligence, sensitivity, understanding, and love. It's not enough to be free from intolerable constraints, but to be free for what is good and true and beautiful. May we realise that freedom is not an end of our religion, but in reality only its beginning. Amen.
If here you have found freedom, take it with you into the world. If you have found comfort, go and share it with others. If you have dreamed dreams, help one another that they may come true. And if you have known love, give some back to a bruised and hurting world. Go in peace. Amen. Amen. Blessed be.
No.